to our live stream, our Facebook Live people joining us this morning. But the title of my message this morning is simply one word: why. Why? Look at someone around you and say, why? Now look at someone else around you that's socially distanced and say, why? You know, I'm not naturally someone who wants the why behind the reasoning behind something. I'm naturally a rule follower. So if you tell me to go do something, I'm going to go do it because I don't want to break the rules. I don't want to disappoint you. But on the opposite side of that, and not that these people aren't rule followers, but there's some people, they really want to know the why behind what they're doing, right? If you ask them to do something, they want to fully understand, why are you asking me to do this? And can I tell you, this generation of students that we are ministering to is very much a generation that wants to know the why. They want to know, why should we come to church? Why should we worship God? Why should we pray? And that may seem a little intimidating, but on the flip side of that, they also question why the world tells them certain things. Well, why do I have to fit into this stereotype that the world labels onto me? You know, why do I need to accept just what the world is telling me? So there's a good and a bad to that. Because my generation, I felt like, wanted to go so opposite of what the generation was before. It seems like we didn't question as much. We just wanted to buck the trend. We wanted to buck the trend of church and of what our parents were telling and where this generation is coming back. So we're going to try and answer the question why for you this morning. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to give you a little insight. I'm not going to be able to fully answer it for you. I don't know if you're a person that wants to know the why behind everything, but we all have why moments. Even though I'm a rule follower and I don't really ask the why, I still have why moments. Like, I'll give you one. Those of you who are parents in here, you'll relate to this. I had my first why moment as a parent with our oldest son, Zion. He's six now, but when he was a newborn, we took him home, scared to death, right? You know, we're like, can we just stay a few days longer in the hospital? So we go home, and I remember it was like 3 in the morning. I was super tired. It was our firstborn, so we left the lights on when we slept because we were, you know, didn't know what was going to happen, didn't know what to expect. And I get up to change my first diaper. All right, and I'm not going to, hopefully you don't get grossed out too easy, but I go to change my first diaper. I pull Zion over there. It's like 3 in the morning. I open his diaper. I'm like, oh, it's just, you know, it's just a little bit of number 2, right? This isn't so bad. And I wipe it, and I clean him up, and then all of a sudden, it's like the gates open, and somehow by the end of it, I ended up with poop on my shirt. At 3 in the morning, I was super tired, and I just said, why? Why? Why is this happening? That was my first why moment as a parent. But then I had another one when we lived in our apartment. When we first moved over here, we rented an apartment in the Cherry Hill Village area, and I remember coming home from the office one day. And we had a high top table in our dining room area. And I walk over to the high top and I look on the wall. And all I can say is why. I look on the wall and one of our sons, I don't even remember which one at this point, decided to take his mom's chapstick and color all on the wall. And you think, oh, chapstick, that'd be pretty easy to get up. Nope. Nope, it was not. So we got a magic eraser, took the magic eraser to the wall. And I stood back and said, why again? Because it didn't help. It just made it worse. It smeared it. It didn't come off. Needless to say, that was noted on our list when we left the apartment. But there's these moments, right? These moments of why. And there's also more serious moments of why that we have in our life, right? Like those are funny, fun moments. But you look at a young kid whose parents just divorce, and you say, why? There's a student that just started coming to our youth ministry out of COVID, out of the lockdown, and one of the ways I was able to connect with him is because our parents divorced about the same time in our life. And I was able to sit down and maybe not answer the why for him, but I was able to sit down and understand the questions that he had. Why did this happen? Very serious moments of why. A loved one gets cancer or illness, and we say, why? Why did this happen? You know, 2020 has really been a year full of whys, right? Think about it, with COVID-19 and then the lockdown. You know, the first 2 weeks of lockdown, it was like, man, this isn't half bad, you know, just kind of relaxing and chilling. But then it turned into, you know, why is this happening? Why do we have to stay in our homes? You know, why did I lose my job? Why this? Why? 2020 has been a year full of whys. Even coming out of lockdown, we come out, things start opening back up, but then it happened, you know, it's just a year full of whys. I'm sure many of you throughout your life has just sat back and asked, why God? Why now? Why this? You know, Pastor Brooks in his transition started preaching my message before I even got up here, and he didn't know it. He doesn't know what I shared with them. We have a lot of problems, and we ask the why. I believe Mary and Joseph, I know we're past Christmas now, but I'm going to kind of hang on there for my message. But I believe Mary and Joseph more than likely had their fair share of whys. Think about it. I'm sure Mary questioned, why am I the chosen one to carry the Messiah? Now, obviously, the angel appeared to her. Right, just because we ask why doesn't mean we don't know why, right? We know why the lockdown happened, because COVID-19 hit. But Mary knows why she's carrying the Messiah, because the angel appeared to her and said, you are the chosen one. But there's still this thing in the back of our minds where we say, why? I'm sure Joseph was wondering why, when his wife was just about full term, this census happens. And he's got to travel with a very, very pregnant wife. Or maybe they both wondered why, after they traveled all that way. Why is there no room in the inn? Why do we have to go to this dirty, nasty manger meant for animals? Just one more why. Have you ever felt like that? Just seems like there's a stack of whys, and you don't have an answer to any of them. One more time, look at your neighbor and say why. If we turn to Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 13, I think we see the next why moment that Mary and Joseph have. The next why moment Mary and Joseph have. They had traveled, they had had Jesus, the shepherds had appeared, the wise men had appeared. They had made it through all the whys leading up to this point. And then this is what it says, in starting in verse 13. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother. And they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. I called my son out of Egypt. Let's pray. God, we come to you, Lord, as the last Sunday of a crazy year. A year full of whys. Jesus, may today our eyes be fixed on you. May we determine in our heart that we won't focus on the whys, the problems, but we'll focus on the problem solver, and that's you. God, may your word go out today and touch our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So as soon as as soon after the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared. So the Magi had left, the wise men had left, and an angel appeared to Mary and Joseph and told them, go to Egypt. Go to Egypt. King Herod is searching for the child. King Herod is searching for Jesus. King Herod was a crazy man. I don't know if you've done research on him, but he was a senile man. So it was at this point, the angel has appeared to him, go to Egypt, flee to Egypt, because you need to get away from King Herod. It's a why moment, I'm sure, for Mary and Joseph. Just another why moment. They made it this far, and then why? Obviously, they know why they got to go to Egypt, because King Herod is searching for the child, but in their mind, I'm sure they're thinking, why? Why now? Why now? They're having a why moment. Why, God, is this happening? Like I said, I'm sure this phrase sounds familiar to most of us. But can I tell you, though we may not always know the why, we always know the who. Let me say that one more time. Though we may not always know the why is this happening? Why now? Why to that person? Why to me? We may not always know the why, but we always know the who. You're not always going to get the answer of why. You're not always going to get that answer. I can't give you an answer of why COVID-19 hit this year in the way it hit. I can't give you the why to that. I can't tell you why someone gets sick from an illness and passes away. I can't, unfortunately, tell you the why, but I can always tell you about the who. Let's go back to Luke 1:38. It says, Mary, this is when the angel appeared to Mary the first time, tells her that she's going to have Jesus, that she's going to have the baby. And it says, Mary answers the angel with this, and Mary said, behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. See, Mary had resolved in her heart that no matter what came her way, no matter the why that she faced, she would always keep the who at the center. Read it one more time. Mary answers the angel with this, and Mary said, behold, I am a servant of who? The Lord. Let it be according to who? Your word, God. Mary kept who at the center? I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. You remember Joseph in the Old Testament? Joseph lived a life full of whys. If you just look at the story, you can look at that and say, why is this happening? His brothers throw him into a pit. Why? He gets sold into slavery into Egypt. I'm sure in his mind, he's thinking, why is this happening? Then he finally goes to Potiphar's house. He's working his way up. And then with Potiphar's wife and all that happens, another why moment, he gets thrown into the pit. And then he finally has this glimpse of hope. These two servants of Pharaoh get thrown in jail. He interprets the dreams, and he tells the cupbearer, don't forget about me. What does the cupbearer do? He forgets about him. In a life full of whys, Joseph tells his brothers about the who. Remember at the end of the story, Joseph's brothers come back to him. In a life full of whys, Joseph tells his brothers about the who. Genesis 50:20. You intended to harm me, but who? God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. What they meant for harm, God intended and used it for good. We don't know the why, but we know the who. I don't know why the lockdown had to happen, why we had to go virtual with our ministries. We didn't see each other for months. I don't know why, but I know the who. Revelations 1:8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. I know the who. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He was, he is, and he will always be. He is El Shaddai, God Almighty, Mighty. Genesis 17:1, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am who? God Almighty, El Shaddai. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Though I don't always know the why, I always know the who. I always know who is in charge, the God Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega, the one that will provide, the one that will make a way. Jesus, who gave his life on the cross, I know who. I can't answer the why, but I know who. Second part to this is, though we can't control the why, we can control the how. I know who's in charge. And though I can't control the why, I can control the how. I can't control why did my parents get a divorce? Why did the parents of this young boy that comes to our youth group, why did his parents get a divorce? I don't know why. Why did it have to happen to him? Why did this or that happen? I can't control the why, but I can control the how. One more time, let's go back and look at Mary's response to the angel. Luke 1:38, Mary answers the angel. And Mary said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Not only did Mary focus on the who, she had decided in her heart how she would react, because she can control the how. I am a servant of the Lord. Her reaction was, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. Listen to this. Because Mary knew the who, she knew the how. Because Mary knew who was in charge and who her life was dependent on, she knew how she would react to the whys. And I know that's a lot of confusing maybe, but because of the who, I know how. I know who controls my life. Listen, Jesus didn't always say it was going to be easy. Matter of fact, he said we would face trials of many kinds. But he said he would send a helper, the Holy Spirit, to help me with how I would react. God, help me to react with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. He sent us the Holy Spirit so that we can control the how. Because we know the who, we know the how. Listen, if I am the one that's in charge of my life, I will never react how I'm supposed to the why. I will never react in peace that passes all understanding. If I'm in charge of my life, I will never stand upon the word that says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. If I am in charge of my life, I will always be anxious when I face the why, because I can't answer it. I will always be worried because I can't answer the why. But when I know who is in charge, I know how I should react. I'm going to quickly go through a couple ways of how we react. And to be honest with you, a couple of them are redundant of what Pastor Brooks is preaching on. But to be honest with you, they've just been living inside of me. They've been living inside of me. So I'm going to share you a couple ways of how I think we should react. The first one Pastor Brooks touched on in his transition, but with praise and celebration. When we don't know the why, we should react with praise and celebration. Coming out of lockdown, we made this to be very, very intentional in our ministry. For the first, I would say every Wednesday for the first 3 months coming out of the lockdown, every Wednesday before I preached, we celebrated something that God did. Why did we do that? Because we wanted know and control how we react to what's happening around us. Psalm 7:17, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I will sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High. I don't know why so much craziness has and is happening, but I know who is in control, and we wanted to control how we react. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, Pastor Brooks just touched on this a few weeks ago. Rejoice always. I remember when I first came on staff, it was not too long after I came on, I heard Pastor Brooks talking about the verse that says, today is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I remember him saying, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it has today, but whatever it is, I will rejoice and be glad in it. I don't know why anything's going to happen today, but I know who's in control, and I know how I'm going to react. I am going to rejoice always. So with that, can I just, and I hope this comes across right, because I don't mean it to come across prideful or boasting, but can I just give you some things that we've celebrated in our ministry coming out of lockdown? I want to just show you some things and how we've been intentional to celebrate and praise God for what he's doing. During lockdown, God really began to stir a hunger inside of our students. At first, I was very nervous about how are we going to do this. The first 2 weeks of lockdown, maybe the first 3 weeks, I did like a pre-recorded message and put it out, launched it on Facebook, and I didn't feel like it was getting the interaction, and so I did what I dreaded, and we went to Zoom. And the reason I say I dreaded that is because you got to understand, our students were just overwhelmed with Zoom. Every class was on Zoom, every meeting was on Zoom, and now here we are wanting to add another. We added 3 Zoom calls a week to their schedule. And yet, you know what? I had youth pastors calling me saying, how are you getting students to consistently get on Zoom? We were up until May, when the lockdown kind of was starting to end, we were consistently around 45 to 50 students on Zoom every Wednesday. On Monday, we were around 25. That was just kind of our hangout time on Monday. And then on Fridays, our small groups were around 50 to 55 students on Zoom. And I had youth pastors saying, how are you doing this? And I'm saying, to be honest with you, I don't know. I just know God is stirring something in our students. We had 25 students at one time all doing a YouVersion Bible study together, commenting in the sections, because when you do a Bible plan together, you can actually comment what God's speaking to you, what you pulled out of. We had 25 students consistently doing a Bible study together. We had never had that. We had our coming out of quarantine, out of lockdown, whatever you want to call it, in August, because summer camp was canceled. We had our own summer camp here at the church. We didn't know what to expect. We just knew God had placed it in our heart. And at that summer camp, we saw 2 salvations, 7 rededication, 18 Holy Spirit baptisms. In September, our friends' night, we had 2 baptisms, we had 2 salvations, and we had 3 more that wanted to be baptized that we're going to be setting up soon. We had a record attendance for our friends' night of 60 students. Before lockdown, we were consistently around 40 to 45. Coming out of lockdown, we had our highest friends' night in September at 60. In October, we had 90 students come to our friends' night. Yeah, praise the Lord. We had one of our, I created this Google Doc so that our leaders can go in and share their wins from the night. Because I don't want to forget what God is doing. I want to remember these moments. We had one leader that said, I had a friend come and experience the nearness and love of God, and he is being refreshed spiritually by connecting through others. Another leader said, a junior high student is initiating a Bible study plan and inviting all her friends to it. We reached our Speed the Light goal of 20,000. God, understand, God did so much in our youth ministry this last year. And this isn't to be prideful or boast, but it's to understand we praise God for that in our ministry. We celebrate what God's doing because I don't know why he's going to happen. I don't know the next why, but I know how we're going to react. And that's with praise and rejoicing always, always, always. Next thing we need to do is we need to pray and trust. We need to have prayer and trust. Colossians 4:2 says this, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourselves to prayer. When we don't know the why, we can always react with prayer. We can always devote ourselves to prayer. But can I tell you something that I tell our students? If we wait to get into the crisis to begin setting an attitude of prayer, we've waited too long. Now understand, in crisis, God can do a lot. He can turn hearts and he can turn minds back to him. But we have to begin to set a standard in our life, because remember, it says devote yourself to prayer. It doesn't say pray when you don't know the answer. It doesn't say prayer when crisis hits. It says devote yourselves to prayer. We have to begin to set a standard of prayer in our life every single day. We have to set that foundation now. We can't wait. We can't wait. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, the good, the bad, the ugly, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And what? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ." Because when we know the who and we react with the how of prayer and thanksgiving, it says the peace of God. The peace of God, which what transcends all understanding. In a situation where someone looks at you and says, "How do you have peace?" They don't understand. How do you have peace? You can say, "Because I know who is in charge. Because I know my God never fails. Because I know He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There is no other God beside Him. Because I know the who, I know how I can react." And the last is this: testify and stand. Testify and stand. Revelations 12:11 says this: "They triumphed over Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." We've got to learn what our testimony is, and we got to learn to stand on that testimony. What has God done in your life? What testimony has God done in your life? What freedom has He given you? What situations has He brought you out of? Because we need to learn to stand on that. Remember David, when he faces Goliath, what does he do? He stands on a testimony of what God has already done. He said, "The same God that delivered me from the mouth of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine." He stands upon the testimony of what God has done. We've got to learn to stand upon our testimony. When we don't know why something's going wrong, we can stand and say, "I don't know why, but I know God. I know who, and I know what He's done. He's already helped me before, and He will help me again. It may not look like how I want it to look, but I know He will, because He is faithful. Because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony." There is power. There is power in your words. There is power in your testimony. There is power in what God has already done. So we react. We react with praise and celebration, prayer and trust, and we testify and stand. Pastor James, can you come up? I don't know what whys you're going to face this year. It's a new year, right? A lot of people, can't get worse than 2020, but yet, we're going to face whys. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you you're not. We're going to face things this year that we don't have the answer for. But no matter what we face, though I may not always know the why, I always know the who. We always know who is in charge. We always know who we can lean on, who we can stand on. And though we can't control the why, we can control the how. I'm going to have everybody close your eyes and bow your head. It's been a hard year. A lot of whys, a lot of questions, and not a lot of answers. And yet I hope that today we can be encouraged in our heart of hearts that no matter what you face this year, no matter what you're going to face, you can stand and you can know the who. I want to take a moment because maybe there's someone in here or online. You don't know the who. You've never given your life to Jesus. You've never committed your life over to Him, given Him control. I want to take a moment and give you an opportunity to respond. If there's anyone in here, you haven't given your life over to Jesus. You haven't given Him full control. Will you just raise your hand? No one's looking around. You can raise it and put it back down. Amen. I want to pray over you this morning. This is how we're going to end. I'm just going to pray over you. God, I come to you right now. God, and we say thank you. God, we give you praise and glory and adoration this morning because you are good. God, because you are in control. God, though we don't always know the why, we always know the who. God, and today we turn our focus from our problems and we give the problem solver our focus. We turn our focus to you. God, thank you for the good that you've done this year. God, the hope that you've restored in your church. God, thank you for the desire you've put in young people. God, the desire you've restored in your church to seek your face, to be dependent upon you. God, thank you. God, and we pray that this year you help us to react. God, to react with praise and celebration and thanksgiving. To react with prayer and to trust you. God, that this year we will stand upon our testimony of how good you are and what you've done. God, we do nothing without you. God, every day may we rise, bring you praise, and give you control of our life. Lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, to steal a line from Pastor Brooks, I hope you have a Jesus-filled week. God bless.